Hello and welcome to the European Hoops Podcast, a Sports Eaters presentation. We bring you all the coverage of the EuroLeague every Monday and Wednesday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Eaters EuroLeague and subscribe to the podcast. My name is André and this is my co-host Tiago Cordeiro. Tiago, how are you doing?
Hi guys, how are you doing? Let's talk about the thing that we like the most. Let's do it. Let's have fun.
This week we don't have EuroLeague games due to the pause for the teams to play their domestic cups. We will take advantage of this break in the competition and we will present you our power rankings. With our power rankings, we want to not only do a recap of the season so far, but we also want to answer to many questions that we have already received regarding who are the top players on each team, how good is each team. And with this podcast, we aim not only to cover the competition, but also use these breaks and use the off-season to educate people that have that interest in getting to know and learning a bit more about EuroLeague. So we decided to do that and bring you a special episode today where we will bring you our power rankings so far of the EuroLeague and also trying to do a bit of a preview of what to expect the rest of the way. We will start from the bottom to top. I will be giving you my power ranking and then Thiago will be giving his opinion or where I rank this team and what are his takes about the team. On tier 8, I have one team by themselves. It's Alba Berlin. Alba is currently on 18 in the competition with a record of 6 wins and 18 losses. Alba has a negative net rating of -7, has the 11th most average point scores per game at 18.6, and has the 15th best offensive rating at 109.4. They are the team that allows in average more points per game at 85.8. They are two top players per PER this season are Luke Sigma, the American forward. He's averaging 7.4 points, 5.1 rebounds, 5 assists and 1 steal. He plays in the EuroLeague for 4 seasons, all of them in Alba. And their second best player per PER is Jalen Smith, with 12.1 points, 2.9 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.7 steals, and with an 11.4 PER. Thiago, do you agree with me that Alba should be on the bottom of this power rankings, and do you think that Alba belongs in the EuroLeague?
The way they're building their team, I don't think they belong to the EuroLeague. You can know the difference between the top teams and them. The wins that they had was in the first games. They had a winning streak of 3-0. And the teams that they won were the teams that are in the middle of the standings, in the middle of my power rankings. I like the way that they play. They play through the power forward. A guy like Luke Sigma plays a lot on the ball. But in my opinion, they don't belong in the EuroLeague. And they should be in the bottom of our power ranking.
So you also had them in 18.
Yeah.
Alba belongs on the bottom of the power rankings. I don't agree that they don't belong in the EuroLeague. I think that I agree that basketball-wise, in this moment, they don't belong in the EuroLeague. They are clearly below the other teams that are competing in this edition of the competition. But I understand that Berlin is a very important city for the EuroLeague and for the future plans of the EuroLeague. And for that, they need strategic cities where money will flow from. And Berlin inside of Europe is one of those cities. So I can see efforts being made both from Alba side and from the EuroLeague itself to help this team to grow and to build in a better way that will allow them to be more competitive in the long run. I did debated quite a bit if they should be by themselves on the tier, and in the end I thought they should. And on tier 7, I have also by themselves ASVEL. Okay. ASVEL are currently in 17 in the standings, and also they are 17 on this power rankings. They have 8 wins and 16 losses. Their two top players per PER are Nando De Colo, the French player, the French guard. He's averaging 13.7 points, 2.5 rebounds, 3.6 assists, and 1 steal, worth 15.5 PER. And their second best player per PER is Youssouf Afal, another French player, a center. He's averaging 9.3 points, 6.1 rebounds, and 0.4 blocks with a 12.3 PER. ASVEL has a -0.8 net rating, and this lower net rating than then Alba was one of the main reasons I consider to have them in the same tier, because they have been tending to be the two worst teams of this year in the competition. They score an average of 74.7 points per game. It's the 17th in the competition, having the second worst offense in the competition. And they have the 10th best defense of the competition, being in the middle of the pack in the defensive terms, with 80.2 points average allowed per game. Thiago, who do you have on 17 on your power rankings? Is it Asvel? Do you agree?
It is Asvel. I could have them in the same tier that Alba is, but Asvel, in my opinion, fights in all of their games. They had wins against Barcelona, against big teams, against Olympiacos, for example. And they fight a lot. The difference in the scores are too little. I like a lot what Asvel brings to the table on the defensive side. They're not that good, but they're intense, and I value that. I saw improvements when they got debossed.
He also have been adding a lot to the way that that team is doing offensively. Also freeing Nando De Colo to play a bit off ball, and he has giving them. I think it gives them an edge to aim to be a bit higher than Alba on this season. Like, I think there is a real difference in this moment in both rosters. Debossed is a part of it.
He's a rim presser because he drives a lot and then kicks out to guys like Nando De Colo that are really good. So yeah, I see them doing way better than Alba, and I'm looking forward to see what they got for next year, if they can get there.
I think it's a team that has a lot of growth potential also. I can see them also being part of the long-term plans of the EuroLeague.
And they have guys like that are injury. Lovren, for example, is not playing, and it could help them a lot.
Yeah, they have some inbuilt upside on their franchise, and they also have shown some ability of getting these higher level older French players, and France is a country that develops very good players, and if they keep being able to do this, I'm looking at players like Nicolas Batum and other type of players like that.
Even Fournier, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Another very good name. And if they are able to keep adding those players, they can be competing at a very high level with other American players and even players that they might develop. And they can find a very good balance that can leave them in a position very similar to what the Italian teams are doing. So I'm talking about Milano and Virtus, that they are able to recruit those type of players and compete at a very, very good level. So yes, Asvel for this season for me is 17, but they can aim to grow and be more in the long run.
And their youth teams, they were the runner-up on the EuroLeague tournament in the under 18, I think. They were the runner-up. They had a really good team.
Not only their team, but even French basketball in general. They are one of the countries that are providing more high-level basketball players and high-level prospects, more than basketball players, high-level prospects. And that's something to watch and something to look at in the next years for Asvel. Moving on, and again, in a tier by themselves, and this one was very hurtful for me because I really admire the work that this team does. I have in 16 on tier 6, Bayern. For me, Bayern plays a very good basketball, but due to a lot of injuries, they are currently in 14 with a record of non-wins and 15 losses. I just see the teams that are below them in the standings, and we are about to get to them in Milano and Panathinaikos, being able to leapfrog them in the rest of the regular season that we have ahead, in part due to the players that they recently added, but also because of Bayern being down several players. And I had to put them in 16 in these power rankings despite really liking them. They have a net rating of minus 3.4. They are 14 in average scored points at 76.4. They are 12th in points allowed to the opponents at 78.7. Their two best players so far this season per PER are Rubit, the American forward, with 10.9 points, 9 rebounds, 1.4 assists, and 0.8 steals per game, with 13.8 PER. Otello Hunter, another American player, this time around a center, he averages 8 points, 5.1 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 0.6 steals, and 0.4 rebounds with a 9.8 PER. They are missing Lucic, that is probably their best player, in my opinion, their top player, but they are mostly a very well-constructed and very solid team, able to play good defense and to be very competitive. They have also on their coach, Trincieri, maybe one of the best coaches in Europe, and that helps them to reach these levels. Do you agree, Thiago? Is Bayern the 16th team of this edition of the EuroLeague?
I see where you're coming from, but I got Panathinaikos in their own tier.
Okay.
I get it that you're saying that for the rest of the season that Panathinaikos will be better. I agree with you. But if we're talking for now, in my opinion, Panathinaikos has had a better chance to be better than Bayern, but they couldn't do it. They had better players, not better coach, but better players, better depth in the bench, and they couldn't make it. But I see where you're coming from to say that Panathinaikos will be better than Bayern.
I absolutely agree with you. If I was just ranking the teams for what they did this season, I have Bayern ahead of Panathinaikos. I think that Bayern had a better season so far. In the power rankings, I try to also project a little bit of what I expect the rest of the way. And I think that Panathinaikos adding some depth pieces, as you just mentioned, like Matt Thomas, they will have a better rest of the season, also because of Bayern dealing with so many injuries, and that's why I had to rank them above. But okay. I totally agree with you.
Go ahead and
give us your takes about Bayern.
Okay, in that terms, I agree with you for sure. Yeah. I see that Panathinaikos will be better than Bayern. But yeah, it's unfortunate that Bayern is missing a guy like Lucic. In my opinion, he's their best player. I like a lot what they bring to the table. They give a fight in every game. They're well coached, in my opinion, one of the best coaches. It's unfortunate for him to not have a better team, for him to be a better, even better coach. But yeah, I don't see them doing nothing more that they're doing that they did. But I'm looking forward to see if they can keep up their momentum, if you can call it like that. I'm looking forward to see if a guy like Isaac Bonga can improve. He has a lot of potential to be in the EuroLeague. Looking forward to see if he can step up.
Yeah, that's another thing, like a bit like what happens with teams like Asvel and Alba. Bayern being also an important German city like Munich. And they also have the ability to recruit this kind of high-level players. And I don't want to make it sound like the German teams are in the EuroLeague because of the money they can bring to the table. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. I think they are here because of their own merits, and they deserve to be here. And they can be very competitive, and Bayern has shown us that in the past. But in the short term, I think that they are having a tough season, and I think because of that they are in 16 here. But let's move on to my tier 5, and in my tier 5 I have three teams. I will mention them, and then we will speak about them one by one, starting from bottom to top. I have Virtus in 15, not because I don't think they are a great team. I think they are a very good team. They miss mm-hmm. some top talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like They have very good and very experienced players like Shingelia, they have Milos Teodosic, they have Hackett, they have Bellinelli, they have very, very good players.
Ojale, in my opinion.
Exactly. Too. Yeah, they have several very experienced players. They had some problems with injuries as well that got on the way. I just don't think that they have the star power to be at the top of the EuroLeague at this moment. I think that they can compete with anyone at any time. They are a very hard team to play against, and their experience is certainly part of it. But that's why I placed them in 15. I think that the other 14 teams I have above at this moment will be able to have arguments to be more competitive or harder to beat than Virtus the rest of the way. And that's the reason why they are in 15 in these power rankings.
Okay.
The two top players of Virtus per PR are Shingelia, the forward from Georgia. He, not Georgia, the state in United States, Georgia, the country, just in case our American listeners mixed it up. He's averaging 10.3 points, 2.9 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 0.9 steals. He's a very good all-around player, and he has an 11.5 PR. And Jaite, the French center, is their second player with the highest PR at 9.8. He's averaging 8.6 points, 5 rebounds. And do you have Virtus in 15? Do you agree that they belong on this tier, or am I dead wrong?
I put them on my tier on that the teams that not that good but not that bad. And like you said, if we're talking about what they will do it, if we got if you can put that on the table, I see. In my opinion, you're right. I see Panathinaikos doing way better than them next in the season, even Milan. But yeah, it's like you said. It's like they're lacking a star.
Yeah, star power. Star power. Like, yeah.
They have guys who are good, but kind of old. Marco Bellinelli, for example. Even Milo Teodosic is dealing with injuries. I wanted to see a guy like Nico Mannion stepping up. He's not stepping that much, in my opinion. 5 points or six. And they're lacking athleticism, in my opinion. They're lacking a wing, a really good wing that they don't have, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think that the age, while it's not a problem, and we can get in EuroLeague very high level older players being able to still perform, I reckon that that can wait in terms of the injuries that they are accumulating during the season. They have in players like Mannion, like you just mentioned, some hidden upside as well.
And Pajola. And,
yeah, exactly. That will be a constant with these EuroLeague teams. The EuroLeague game, it's played in a different way than the NBA game is. It's way more of a team game. Like in NBA, usually you will have one, two, top three players that will have the ball and dominate the ball a lot. In the EuroLeague game, you need to share, and you will have maybe six players on a team or four players on a team that will have those responsibilities. The players want to have such heavy minute loads like they do in the NBA.
Or even usage.
And, yeah, exactly. And those differences allow that even older players in a later stage of their career can be very successful. And I don't want to take that away. Like Virtus have that type of players, and the players that are that good. And I won't be surprised if Virtus wins any team that plays in the EuroLeague, especially at home. They can certainly beat anybody. But at the same time, I think that they are lacking that athleticism that would allow them to be higher, to be in the playoffs, it's not that they are that far from the playoffs, they can't even make it to the playoffs, but they will be a low-end playoff team, in my opinion, and that's their best-case scenario, and I think that that puts them, for me, in 15, but certainly in this tier with other teams like Milan and Panathinaikos, like we just spoke.
Because of the old, because of their age, in my opinion, they're one of the most boring teams to watch because they play at such a slow pace.
Yeah, they slow down the game quite a bit.
Yeah, they slow a lot of the game, and I get it. But I want to see them like with guys like Nico Mannion, Pajola, for example, to improve their pace.
Yeah,
but they're lacking athleticism for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting balance between having these older high level players and playing slower, and what they win and lose, or what they leave on the table because of that, and being able to step up, especially certain moments of the game. I don't find them boring, because any team with Milo Teodosic cannot be boring. He's too special of a player, too special of a passer to call them boring. There will be a moment of the game that will be worth it for sure. But moving on 14, in these rankings. I really struggle and debated, and I think that even the last time I sent you these power rankings, I had these two teams the other way around. I have Milano. I could perfectly have Panathinaikos here, but I have Milano in 14th place. Milano has a minus 7.8 net rating. They are last in their average points scored per game at 71.6, but they have the second best defense of the competition with 77.2 points allowed per game. This is a team that their anchor has been the defense, although they lack on the offensive ability. They addressed that with Shabazz Napier joining the team recently, and that made me really consider if they should be even higher up on these poor rankings. But their record puts them in 15th place with 8 wins and 15 losses. And while I think that the rest of the way they might be a bit of a headache for the top teams that will have to face them, I don't see them making it to the playoffs, and for that reason, I don't see them belonging to a higher tier. I'm waiting a bit more what they have done so far in this competition. The top two players in terms of PER for them are Shevon Shields. He only played 3 games this season for them and has been out due to injury, but I think he would have been a very big piece for them and would have helped them with their offensive problems. He averaged on those 3 games 14.7 points, 3.3 rebounds, 2 assists, and has a 15 PER. And the player with the second highest PER for Milano is Brandon Davis, the American center, with 11.2 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.9 steals, and 0.2 blocks, with a 12.1 PER. We already spoke about where we rank these teams, so what are your takes about Milano?
My takes about Milano is you can know the difference before a guy like Shabazz Napier enter on the team and after. Previously, I said that their offense was too much predictable, and you already know what was coming from. And now you can know the difference that they're unpredictable. They're playing in the transitions with guys like Napier and TLC. I like a lot their team. I was expecting Voigtman to have a better season. He is showing some improvements, in my opinion, since the Shabazz Napier come to the team.
Yeah, I think it with Voigtman. Sorry to interrupt you, yeah, but no, with Voigtman, I think it's one of those situations where the things were so tight in the team that all the players have those struggles, because it's easier for the other defenses to adjust to what each player does better. When they are able to free themselves, they have been having a higher offensive pace on the last games, and you get a better player that frees your offense, all the players will have a easier life and will be able to produce at their higher level. So I totally agree with you in the importance of Napier for this team, and especially for the rest of the season and probably for the following one.
For sure.
Okay, moving on to my 13th, still on the tier 5, and that's Panathinaikos. I really struggle. I moved Panathinaikos and Milano up and down, up and down. The reason why Panathinaikos end up ahead is their better net rating. They have a net rating of minus 5.6. Panathinaikos rank 12th on their points scored per game with 79.5. And they are the fourth worst defense on the competition, allowing 83.3 points per game. That's something that they need to step up the rest of the way to be competitive. But they have a lot of star power and high-level players. They just added another one in Matt Thomas that can free and some things for them and space the floor for them. Their two top PER players so far is the Dwayne Bacon, the American forward. He's averaging 18.7 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 1.8 assists. And the other forward, Derek Williams, also American, with 13.4 points, 5 rebounds, 1.2 assists, and 0.9 steals per game. Do you agree that the Panathinaikos star power makes them belong on the top of this tier? Or what are your pros and cons of what this team does?
In my opinion, Milano could it's on the top of this tier, and I got Panathinaikos in the third last year, but now I can put them on this tier because what we already talked. I like their head in Matt Thomas. He spreads the floor. In the last game, he scored 13 points, I think. And he makes easier for guys like Dwayne Bacon and Derek Williams to work inside, because they now can kick it out for a 3-point shot. But I, in my opinion, Milan has better players and a lot more options than Panathinaikos.
So what was so hard for me here is like, I think that Milano is able, especially now with Shabazz Napier, to have the playmaking that Panathinaikos is lacking. It's a very hard balance. I think as an overall team with more star power, I give the edge to Panathinaikos. I think it might be easier for Panathinaikos to step up their defense than for Milano to improve enough.
Let me just say something, but Milano, even before Napier, they were one of the best defensive teams. They were lacking some offensive power and some playmaking, but I think they still can get a good defense.
Yeah, they are one of the top defensive teams of this competition so far, and I think that they've even adding Napier, they won't get worse at that. That I agree. And that's kind of the anchor of their game. I just think that overall Panathinaikos has a slightly more offensive power, more star power, and I was very indecisive here. It was almost a coin flip, and I just went with the better net rating, because I think that Panathinaikos can step up their defense a bit the rest of the way, and with that be slightly more competitive. But I think both teams are clearly at very similar levels and will be very competitive the rest of the way this year of the EuroLeague, and they are also giving signs of trying to build for the future, and they are certainly teams to look for during the next editions of the EuroLeague. Continuing, Tier 4. In 12th, I have Red Star. I think that Red Star, despite being in the standings tied with Virtus, with a record of 11 wins and 13 losses, I think the addition of Campazzo, plus what they already have, will give them a big boost the rest of the way. I cannot have them higher than this, because they are trailing behind the playoff spots by 2 wins. It's not easy to make up that difference the rest of the way. But I think that Red Star has a very, very competitive team. And with Campazzo, they will be for sure at the level of the teams that are in the playoffs. I don't know if it won't be too late for them. The two top PER players for them this season are Luke Vildoza, the Argentinian guard. He's averaging 14.1 points, 2.3 rebounds, and 3.8 assists, and 1.7 steals per game. And Filip Petrozev, one of Thiago's favorites, the Serbian forward, that is averaging 10.8 points, 5 rebounds, and 0.8 blocks per game. The Red Star teams has a net rating of -3.2. They have one of the worst offenses of the competition. They rank in 16 with 75.6 points average per game, and they rank 13 in the points allowed per game with an average of 78.1, being on the superior half of the defensive teams in the EuroLeague. These indicators, when having into account that Campazzo will be a big addition for them, I think this puts Red Star on this tier, on the tier 4 that I have them with Žalgiris, and I rank them in 12th in these power rankings. Do you agree? Where do you have Red Star rank?
I agree with you. If we we were talking about star power, in my opinion, this team is on the same level of top teams if we're talking about star power. But they're lacking a lot of defense. I don't know what is happening to this team. I think that the Campazzo is coming, and it will be a little late, a little too late for them. I like what they bring on the offensive side. They have one of my favorite players, Nedovic, is playing a lot. Luka Vildoza, that is playing a lot too. But I don't know.
Petrusev,
for sure, you already mentioned it. But I don't know what is happening to this team. I don't know if it's the feeding. I don't know if I don't agree with some of the coach's decision, the rotations that he has on this team.
About that, let me interrupt you very quickly. I think Ivanovic is looking for solutions. Because if we think about that, Vildoza, Petrosev, Nedovic, it's not that they are terrible defenders, but none of them is like an elite defender, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
And if you put a bunch of very high-level elite offensive players playing all at the same time, but if none of them is above average as a defender, it makes it hard to make your defense work. And we have seen for several times they struggling to stop other teams in clutch time. And I think that's the reason why it's so hard for them to step up their defensive level. And while I think that this team will work wonderfully with Campazzo, he also won't be adding on the defensive end of the floor, although he's a good and aggressive defensive player.
He's an underrated, he's underrated as a defensive.
Yeah, I think he's a good defensive player. I just don't think he can be the anchor of a defense. So I think it's hard for him to impact the defense of this team too much. But I think that's the reason why they have so many defensive struggles.
But what guys do you have to put on the defensive side? I can see Stefan Marković, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we have seen him having some important defensive assignments for them.
I see him playing a lot of defense, but I don't know if their defense is not that good. I think that maybe they can try to outscore the team.
They will be doing that. They are doing that, and they will continue to do that. We just had a very great game of them in Tel Aviv, where they managed to do it, and they got a very important road win for them to stay in the fight until they get Campazzo. And they will for sure be a very enticing team to watch the rest of the way. I wasn't able to put them in the same tier as the other teams that are on the playoff fight. But that takes me to the other team I have on this tier, and I want to start by saying that Žalgiris is one of my favorite teams. I love the atmosphere there. I really like how they play. I just think that they were unlucky and they had too many injuries, and it will be extremely hard for them to be able to do enough the rest of the way to secure a playoff spot. They have a record of 13 wins and 11 losses, and they are currently in ninth place. They just had a very important home win. But I think Isaiah Taylor is about to come back, and they do need his playmaking, and they do need a player like him. I think they can step up, and maybe I will be wrong ranking them on the top of the tier 4. And they could, if they were healthy, I would easily have them on the tier above with the other teams like Maccabi, Baskonia, Valencia, and Partizan. I decided to rank them with Red Star on the top of the tier 4, mostly because of their health problems. Žalgiris on this season of the EuroLeague, they have a net rating of -2.3. They rank in 15th in the average points scored per game in 75.9. They do have the third best defense of the EuroLeague, allowing only 77.3 points per game. As it's well known, they are one of the best home teams and have one of the best home crowds. The two top-ranked players in terms of PER are Evans, Ulanovas, but unfortunately, Evans is gone for the season. And I think this would have been a key player for them to aim to be in the playoffs. And I think if he hadn't gotten injured, they would be in the playoffs. And I think this is too big of a loss in the end of the day. He was averaging 15.9 points, 3.2 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1 steal per game, and 17.4 PER. Ulanovas, the team captain, the Lithuanian forward, is averaging 11.5 points, 3.7 rebounds, 2.8 assists, and 0.9 steals, and have been stepping up big time for the team when they needed him the most. The Latvian Roland Schmitz is the third best in terms of PER. And the Latvian forward, he has 10.1 points, 5.2 rebounds, and 1.1 assists, being an all-around player and very important piece for Žalgiris. Do you agree that they belong in 11th and on top of this tier, or they belong on 11th but they should be on the tier above? What is your opinion about Žalgiris?
I got them. I can put them on the tier above to mark the difference between them and Crvena Zvezda. I like a lot what they're doing, and I think that they will keep doing even with the injuries. I think that they will be a fun team to watch that can steal a game against the big teams. They're playing a really good defense, and that's why they're in the playoff spot, in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, they're in ninth place, but they are tied with the teams that are
in the playoff positions. So they're in the playoff hunt. I put them on my tier four. It's the playoff bound teams that can get on the last positions.
Yeah,
I like a lot the way that they're playing. They share the ball, but you can know the difference when a guy like Isaiah Taylor got away with the injury that he had.
The way their offense works, it dropped a lot.
Yeah, it dropped a lot. You can know the difference because, like we already mentioned, it's a guy like Brazdeikis, even Lanovas, they're playing a lot of iso ball, and their offense is getting predictable a lot.
Same without the ball movement, it's way harder for them to be as efficient, and it's way easier to stop them if they are trying to force actions through two players.
Because they're sharing the ball a lot too, but the way that they're sharing is not the same way that they already did, and they already shown us.
Totally.
I'm looking forward if a guy like Polonara could step up. I liked a lot when they brought him. They're missing a lot to Tyler Cavanaugh too. It's unfortunate for them.
Yeah, I guess you convinced me. I'm moving them to tier 3, and yes. I still have them in 11, but I'm moving them to tier 3. I really love Žalgiris. I love the way they play. I love their home court. And they do belong on tier 3, and they will be on the fight to the playoffs. So I'm moving them up. They belong. And so on tier 3 with Žalgiris now in 10th place, I have Partizan. And okay, this again was a hard decision to have them here, because I think that Partizan, because of their current momentum, they are clearly a playoff team. I just think that once it comes to playoff times and playoff play, I don't think they have the same arguments. And by arguments, I'm speaking about go-to guys and guards like Valencia, Baskonia, and Maccabi have. So I have 5 teams in this tier. In 11th, Žalgiris, 10th, Partizan, 9th, Valencia, 8th, Baskonia, 7th, Maccabi. And the reason why I have Valencia, Baskonia, and Maccabi on the top of this tier, and we will get to those teams after Partizan, it's because they have the guard play, and they, in clutch time, they are superior to what Partizan can do. But I do think that Partizan will be on this edition of the EuroLeague playoffs, and I think that Partizan clearly belongs in the EuroLeague, and it's a plus for the EuroLeague. And proof of that is that their net rating, they have a plus 2.9 net rating of this edition of the competition. They have the second best offense of the competition, averaging 84.3 points per game, and with an offensive rating of 121.1 per game. It's pretty impressive for a team like them that doesn't recur as much as other teams to guard play as some other teams in the EuroLeague do. They ranking this high offensively, it's pretty impressive. They have the 7th worst defense of the competition, allowing 82.6 points per game, and they have the second worst defensive rating with 118.2 points per game. I think that's also a consequence of playing on a higher pace. But Partizan is a team that have been growing during this season, and it's a very entertaining team to watch and to cheer for. Their top player is Matisse Lasort, one of the PER leaders of this edition of the EuroLeague. He's a center from France. He's averaging 12.8 points, 7.2 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 0.9 steals, and 1 block per game with a 20.1 PER. Zach Lede, the American forward, he's averaging 11.2 points, 5.6 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and 0.6 steals per game, and a 14.7 PER. I know that, like me, you are also a big fan of Partizan. where do you have them on your own power rankings? Do you agree with the 10th that I have?
Let me disagree with you. I got Valencia on this spot, but let's talk about Partizan.
Where do you have them, by the way?
I have them above Valencia.
So you have them in 9th?
So in the 9th spot and Valencia in the 10th spot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know what you're saying about when it comes to the playoffs and the playoff game. They will lack some experience because they're one of the youngest teams in the. I think they're the youngest team in EuroLeague.
Yeah,
so that's why they will struggle when it comes it. But I see them doing better than Valencia, just because of the athleticism that they got. They have a little star power, in my opinion. Dante Exum is playing a really good basketball. At the beginning of the season, I didn't like what he was doing, but now he's playing a lot of good minutes and taking a lot of good decisions in the clutch time. They have one of the top five MVP candidates in Matthias Lessort. They have Zach Lede, who plays really good basketball too. And even the forwards that they have Kevin Punter, who is a really good scorer.
Partizan might be a better regular season team, and teams like Valencia a better playoff team?
No, I disagree with you. Because in my opinion, Partizan has one of the best coaches, and that's sure. That makes a difference too.
Sure. I have absolutely agree with that. I have no arguments against that. But on this one, I'm keeping Valencia above because their guard play and their game style, I think we will see a lot of what they do translating into the playoffs. The less experienced Partizan, I think, might have some struggles. Although I think playing at their arena will be extremely hard for any team, for any of the top teams when it comes to the first round of the playoffs. And I do think that Partizan belongs on the playoffs. And there has been some talk about they belong long-term in the EuroLeague, and please bring them. Because
for sure.
Their supporters, the work they are doing, their coach, the level of their players, the way they work, Partizan belongs in the EuroLeague 100%.
Agree with you.
Already spoiled it. In 9th place, I have Valencia. Valencia has a net rating of -1.5. They have been growing during the season. They were in very good momentum recently. They have the 7th best offense of the competition with 82.9 points per game. And they have the 2nd worst defense of the competition with 83.8 points per game. The two top PER players for Valencia are Chris Jones, American guard with Armenian passport. He's averaging 14.8 points, 2.5 rebounds, 4.8 assists, and 1.4 steals. And I think he's due to give a jump and be playing for a bigger team in the EuroLeague next season. And the other crucial piece for them is Bojan Djublevic, the center from Montenegro, with 12.9 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 1.4 assists per game. You already said that you had Valencia in 10th place, so what are your takes about Valencia's season so far, and what do you expect from them the rest of the way?
Let me just say something. If you ask me who plays a better basketball between Valencia and Partizan, I would say Valencia for sure. They're one of the funniest teams to watch, but they're missing like firepower. They share a lot of the ball. I like a lot their guards, Jared Harper, even Chris Jones, who plays really good on clutch decisions. But they're lacking some star power. They have one of my favorite players, Bojan Djublevic, but he recently missed some games, and I think that they lost that ones.
Yeah, from the games that Djublevic missed, they lost against Maccabi at home. It was a 1-point loss, but in the last one, they managed to win with the buzzer beater from Chris Jones in Paratinaikos. They beat them 91-92.
But yeah, like you already said, they're one of the worst defenses in the EuroLeague, and that's why I don't have them higher in the playoff
in
talk.
Your power rankings. Yeah,
in my power rankings, and even in the playoff talk that we had, between them and Partizan.
Yeah, so that was one of the biggest problems I had doing this, is like, how much do I believe that Valencia will be in the playoffs versus Partizan? So I guess you have a point in having Partizan in 9th and Valencia in 10th. Although we clearly both have a team above them and maybe even in a tier above that are below them in the standings right now. But we will get to FS at some point.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Exactly. But yeah, but for me, it's a lot about their game translating very well to the playoffs. Although there is clearly an argument both ways, and Partizan are currently the best regular season team. Although both teams are tied in the standings, but their current momentum proves that they are able to perform at the highest level and compete with any team in the EuroLeague. But you were talking about firepower, so let's get to the team that I rank in 8th place on my power rankings, and that's Baskonia. Baskonia has the best offense of the EuroLeague so far, averaging 85.4 points per game. They have the third worst defense, allowing 83.4 points per game. For me, that's the issue with Baskonia. They have zero defensive consistency, and that can be a problem for them to be consistent game after game and to dominate when it comes to it. Of course, they have enough power to outscore anyone, and they will be able to compete on that side of the court against any team in this EuroLeague. What is very interesting about Baskonia is that one of their two top PER players this season, they have two players tied in first place, is Pierre Henry, that is not longer with the team. The American guard was providing them a lot of very important playmaking, averaging 6.2 assists per game. And although they were able to replace him with Max Heidegaard, they might be missing him in the highest level games of the competition. The other player that they have with 14 PER is Darius Thompson, having an excellent season for them, the American guard, with 10.8 points, 3 rebounds, and 5.8 assists with a 14 PER. Where do you have Baskonia on your power rankings, and why am I too low?
No, you're not too low. I agree with you. I got Maccabi higher than them. And the reason why is they can, in a hot night, they can give a fight and they can win against anyone. But what they're lacking is defense, and they can get that in the free agency.
Yeah, the not being a team that is able to compete on defense is a killer in the EuroLeague. I think we are a long way from seeing a team winning the EuroLeague just with offense. So you need to be able to compete on defense to have the needed consistency to be able to compete game after game and to compete in the playoffs. If you are not able to get stops and you are just a machine of scoring points, I think it will be hard for you to win it all.
And even their offensive power only comes from the guards and from the backcourt. And in off night of a guy like Marcus Howard and Darius Thompson, they might get in trouble. So yeah,
I see what you are saying, but we have seen players like Costello and Giedraitis having also a big impact on what this team does. So I do think that they have some solutions all over, but I also obviously agree that they base their game on their guard play, and that's where their strength is.
But Giedraitis and even Sedekerskis, he had a really good game too against Barcelona. They need a guy like Darius Thompson to provide them the ball and to put them in good situations for them to score.
Yeah, for sure. They are not creators, and all of their creation comes from the guards. I absolutely agree
they're missing,
with you on that. And that takes us to the team in seventh place on this power rankings, and that's Maccabi, that you already said that you agree, and you have them above Baskonia as well. Maccabi is currently in 10th place with a record of 12 wins and 12 losses. They have been playing without their best player, Lorenzo Brown. Lorenzo Brown has a 17 PER this season with 16.6 points, 3.2 rebounds, and 6 assists. Their second best PER player is Wade Baldwin. The American guard has 16.6 points, 3.2 rebounds, and 4.5 assists per game. Why is Maccabi a stronger team than Baskonia?
In my opinion, their defense is really good. They play with a lot of physicality. Their bigs are really tough to beat it. And their star power that they have a guy like Baldwin that we already talked that he does a lot of mistakes in the late game situations. Their star power is way bigger than Baskonia because they have guys like Wade Baldwin, Lorenzo Brown, even a guy like DiBartolomeo on an odd night can make the difference. And their defense is really good and way better than Baskonia. I could put them higher. The absence of Lorenzo Brown put them on the 10th spots on the standings, but they're fighting and they will give a fight for sure.
Just a small note about their defensive. They have the fifth worst defense in the competition. Mm-hmm. And I think what you meant is that they have more defensive arguments than Baskonia does. It's about being able to be more consistent defensively, not that Maccabi themselves have a very good defensive team.
Yeah, it's obviously about that. Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think that these teams of this tier, where we have Žalgiris in 11th, Partizan and Valencia fighting for the 9th and 10th places, and Maccabi and Baskonia fighting for the 7th and 8th places, and we both agree that Maccabi has a small edge here, are the teams contending for the playoffs, for the bottom of the playoffs, and for the last three spots in the playoffs. And this is the end of part one. We covered teams 18 to 7 tomorrow, Friday evening, Saturday morning. Tune in for the part two. Make sure to follow us in Twitter @ethos Euroleague. See you guys soon for part two.